In the room, some may say it's hopeless. Genesis chapter 32. Genesis chapter 32, verse 24. It says, and Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled with a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Penuel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And then we want to go to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. Disciples ask him how to pray. And Jesus speaking said, after this manner, therefore pray ye. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will you forgive your trespasses. Let's just pray for a moment. Lord, as we come to you now, we want to just thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to look into your word. And Lord, we stand here just as mere mortals, Lord, but holding a promise in our hearts, knowing that you have promised to be here. And Lord, as your prophet said, you dwell in the midst of your word. And so we realize tonight, Lord, we are a blessed people to be able to look into these things, and especially, Lord, to have revealed to us the things that you have and are revealing to us in this last day. Lord, we realize that the only place that we have to stand, the solid ground, is upon your word. And so I pray this afternoon or this evening, Lord, that each one of us, Lord, that our hearts would just launch out into these words and the things that you share with us, Lord. May we find it to be a sturdy ground, a solid rock that we can stand on in such a shaky time in this world. We ask for your blessings upon each one here and those that are streaming, Lord. We ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. How many loves coming to church, loves to be in church, loves to think on the things of God, the Word of God? Amen. I know that, you know, we understand as a young couple, when they first get married, they think about one another all the time. And that's the thing that has happened as a Christian. As soon as the Lord just gets a hold of you, you give your life to him, you think about him all the time.
Right.
All day, you know. And so that's a good sign that something's happened inside.
Yeah.
Amen. And so when you're thinking of the Lord constantly. Amen. And so his word, he has sent. And as I said in praying, there's just really one place that we can stand, that we can rest assured is solid ground, and that is his word.
Yes.
Amen. And so may God grant richly to us that we be able to do that and believe his word and not doubt it and find it to be that place of strength and sturdiness. I want to continue on my thought with, by my spirit saith the Lord. Tonight I'll just give a little subtitle to this, overcoming human nature, or conquering human nature. And so we want to just look into the things here. As I've been sharing, you know, we can't save ourselves, couldn't save ourselves. It actually was the Spirit of God that began to deal with us to begin with, to bring us in the first place.
Right.
As we've said so many times, you heard Brother Bram say it, Brother Daniel has said it, that it's not man seeking God, it's God seeking man.
Right.
And so we realize that if God hadn't begun to move upon us, then we wouldn't come. And so we know that by the Spirit of God, he has worked in our lives and brought us where we are now. And so we realize we're not saved We're saved by grace, right? We're not saved by works. We're saved by the fact that just simply unmerited favor, God poured out his blessings upon us to call us. And that same voice that calls us is the same voice that can change your body, resurrect you if you go by way of the grave. We know that because it is the voice of the resurrection. And so, but we also, in this series, I really want to stress, we realize we must be led by the Spirit of God. And we've got to come to a complete understanding that we cannot serve God in our flesh nature. Right. When I say flesh or carnal just means natural flesh, right? Just flesh. And there's a nature to our flesh.
Right.
And in our, we have a human nature or flesh nature that will respond to do all whatever it is that's going on. That's just our nature, just to respond as a human would respond to things that happen or things that, you know, come our way. We've got to learn how to conquer that. And the way to conquer that is by the Spirit of God.
Right.
We know that. And so just kind of continue on with this understanding that everything that lays before us, the only way we're going to be overcomers and conquerors is to let the Holy Spirit be the leader and guide in our lives, to quicken this word in our lives. And the sooner we can learn to let him lead in all things, the better off we'll be. And so we realize that when your flesh is strong, then your spiritual life is weak.
Yeah.
Right. But when you're strong in the Spirit of God, your flesh is weak, right? We understand that concept there. And it's just the way God made it. And so we can't please God in the flesh. And so we need to seek the presence of God in our lives. We know that we believe that here at the end time there is to be another filling, refilling, or outpouring of the Spirit of God in us, in his people. And we believe that's going on. We believe there's more to come. And so we just have to make it our agenda to seek God.
Yeah.
And so we see here in the scriptures where they had asked Jesus how to pray. And he gave them a pattern how to pray. And in that, I'm going to paraphrase it in just my own thoughts about the things he said there. But the first thing is that you must recognize God.
Yeah.
You must recognize God. You must recognize his dwelling place. You must recognize his holiness. And you must recognize that you are his child. He is your father. He said, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Right.
You must recognize that he is your father. And if you recognize that, then you know, I'm going to just say it, what comes to my mind there when I was thinking on this, there is a genetic responsibility you have to him.
Right.
Because you have a nature, you have things in you that need to mature, that become more and more like him. And we, because of that, you know, a child is responsible to their dad. The dad's responsible to the child. There's a connection there.
Yeah.
And there's, so I'm going to talk a lot about responsibilities tonight. And so we have this responsibility to recognize he's our father.
Right.
And therefore, we answer to him.
Right.
He brought us here. We have his blood, so to speak, in us, his genetics, spiritual genetics in us. And therefore, there's a nature that's got to come
that's
like him. And so you realize that nature has to overcome this flesh.
Yeah.
Our response is daily. We need to learn that it's the Holy Spirit that we respond with and through, and not our flesh.
Yeah. Right.
And that's a whole lifelong battle, because we go through trials, and the first thing that happens is our flesh nature wants to respond to how these trials come at us. Mm-hmm. That's the Christian walk. Is to learn how to pull over and get into the presence of God and let that be the thing that motivates you as you go through life every day.
Right.
Good, bad, whatever. Just let the Holy Spirit lead you and guide you in all things.
Right.
Your life will be much better if you'll do that.
Sure.
Right? It's just like, you know, when you respond in the flesh, it's pretty much wrong.
Right.
That's just pretty much how it is. I mean, it's just, and the further we go, the more we get into this word and presence of the Lord, we realize just how destitute our natural forces are. I mean, it's passing away, right? We're all dying people in the flesh, right? But as this is getting weaker, there should be something inside us getting stronger. As this is going toward the dust of the earth where it come from, there should be something in us that's going higher and higher in God.
Yeah.
And that's the way it should be. And so we have to recognize God and that we are responsible. And we should always, as the pattern is there, we should always pray that God's will be done.
Right.
We should come to the place where no matter what we want in ourselves, we should be able to do like Jesus did there in the Garden of Gethsemane and say, because he had a natural will. He was flesh, right? He was Word made flesh. And he had fear, and he had hunger, and he had a need to rest and sleep and so forth. And he had a will. He was, as a man, he feared. He was hurting that he feared, yeah. Right? He didn't want to go to Calvary and do those things.
Right.
But he, in all that, he said, not my will, but thy will be done. Mm-hmm. So he tells us that's the way, what we, way we should pray.
Right.
And then we should recognize that he is the one that supplies our daily needs. It's not our job. It's not anything else. It's not welfare, whatever. Your bank account, God is the one that's able to help you and make you stand,
sure.
Regardless of what comes your way. And he wants us to recognize it. So in our prayer, we minister back to God who he is and what his position in it, that we belong to him and he's our Father, and that he's the one that supplies these needs. He's the one that takes care of all these things.
Right.
You see how this the nature of this prayer is? And so he's the one that supplies our needs. But he also told us to remember that we have debts,
yeah.
Right? We have debts to one another, but we have debts, and in some, you hear a lot of people when they say this, say, forgive us our trespasses. So we have debts, we have trespasses against God,
yeah.
Every day,
yeah.
Every day. And we have debtors. We have people who do us wrong. We have people, it's not necessarily talking about just this money,
right?
Right? But as I said, I'll talk a lot about responsibility. We have a responsibility to God.
Sure.
Yeah. We have a responsibility to each other.
Right.
Right? And so when I owe Malachi, or I owe Brother Daniel, anybody in here, I owe you a certain life to give to you that I express to you as a Christian, I owe it to you to respond to you the right way and live before you the right way. I owe that to you, and you owe it to me.
Right.
And when I don't do that, right, I'm not paying you. So now I'm in debt to you.
Right.
You understand the concept here. It's on top. Money's just, that's a very little thing here.
Yeah.
What we're talking about is our life, the nature of God. We owe it to one another that the Holy Spirit is what lives through us and responds to through us to one another and not something else.
Right.
See, that's what we're talking about. And so, we have to realize that we make mistakes and we fall short, and we're debtors to God, and we're debtors to one another, and there are people who that trespass against you and are,
right.
And maybe not responding to you with the Spirit of God like they should, right? And it's in the prayer.
Uh-huh.
You must recognize this. And as you recognize it, God, I need you to forgive me for the mistakes I make every day and the failures that I make every day. And Lord, and he says, as we forgive those who do that to us.
Right.
Now, God's not going to be in debt to you.
Yeah.
Right? He pays his bills. He does what he says.
Yeah.
Ends that by telling us, you know, basically, his is the kingdom, power, glory. And so that every trial that comes across your way comes across his desk, because it's his kingdom.
Yeah.
It's his power. It's his glory forever.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He's the one in control,
right.
Not Washington.
Right.
He's the one that's in control. And so he's praying about it, telling us to pray this way. And this is the pattern. And I'll say this, you know, I know people say the Lord's Prayer. I don't think he meant for us to pray that prayer like that all the time. But it's a pattern,
right?
Right? It's a pattern. We don't say prayers, we pray.
Right.
Exactly.
Right? I hear people say a prayer for me. You know, we don't say prayers. Catholics say prayers.
Yeah.
Right. We pray, right? We pray. Pray means ask. And so we talk to the Lord and ask him the different things that we need. And so the one condition in all this here that I want to talk about and focus on is forgiveness. He said, when people have debts towards you, then you know. And so our relationship is not just to God. Our relationship is to one another.
Right.
And how many of you ever hear Brother Bam say, you know, if you want to please me, do something for me, do it for my kids.
Right.
Right? And we all feel that way. Right? Mm-hmm. And so we think about that. If you want to please God, do something for his family.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right? If you want to please God, treat him right.
Sure.
Right.
When things come up and the enemy tries to come in, treat them right. And the only way you can treat him right is when you walk in the Spirit of God. Right. When you obey this word. It's the only way you can do it. And it's, you know, it's like little kids, you know, it's like you tell them, and then when they get in trouble because they didn't listen to you, and they're surprised, like, what are you doing? What? You know, and you wonder, people, they don't listen to the word, they don't follow the word, and then when things happen and they're astonished.
Yeah.
Well, there's consequences when we don't live the way we should live, when we don't let God do in our lives the things that he promised he would do. And so, you know, the real test, it's been a while since I've said this, but it's not the guy down the street. I used to say, Joe, you know, he can do something to get you. They don't hurt too much. Mm-hmm. But it's those who are close to you.
Right.
Those that you've dipped your hand in the bread, the sop, or, you know, those that you went to church with, your own familiar friends, those that you've had sweet fellowship together. Now when something comes up through that person and between you and them, that really hurts.
Right?
And so, like I've said before, you know, the potter, he's got to put some pressure, right? Joe down the street's not going to make much molding of character in us.
Right.
But you let someone close to you that you've walked with, that you love, you let something come up between you and that person,
Now
that makes a difference, right? And here's the thing about it is, it's absolutely necessary that offenses come. It's absolutely necessary that you're going to have debtors. You're going to have people that do you wrong.
Right.
You're going to do people wrong. It's just because it's human nature. But all of that's supposed to be overshadowed by and conquered by the nature of Spirit and Spirit of God.
Right.
Right? And you're the gatekeeper that controls how much of that comes into your life. And conquers. You have to make that decision that you're going to live by the Spirit and by the Word of God.
Yeah.
And so, you're going to have things that trespass against you. And so, it's you know, he wants us to remember this is how we respond, how we fall short, but also how we respond to other people when they fall short, when they do something against us. And so, we have to rise above this human nature. The Ten Commandments, you know, most, a great portion of those is about your fellow man.
Right.
Don't steal from your neighbor.
Right.
Don't kill your neighbor. Don't covet your neighbor's wife or goods, right?
Yeah.
Don't lie about your neighbor. You see what I'm saying? So we understand the scripture says, first, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength. Then love your neighbor as yourself.
Yeah.
Right? And on these two commandments hang the whole law, scripture says.
Right.
And as we've talked in the past, you know, that you can't really love and treat your fellow man right if you don't have an experience with God.
Right.
You've got to have him number one.
Yeah.
And then when he's number one, he'll live through you. And now you can handle living toward others. And do what I'm talking about tonight. You can overcome human nature and live God.
Amen.
Live God to the people. Amen. And so, those commandments. If you read in Romans chapter 13, verse 8, if she'll put that up, or I think I gave it to her. Did I put that on her? It says, owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Right? For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. If you can love your neighbor as yourself, you got an experience with God.
Amen.
Because you can't do it without it.
Right.
Right? Oh, we love ourselves. Right? But can you love the other person, right?
Right.
Like you love yourself. Right? Love worketh no ill to his neighbor.
Right.
Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So, you know, James chapter 3, I didn't give it to her, but James chapter 3, verse 2 says, If a man offend not in word, he's a perfect man. And he's able to bridle his whole body. Think about it. James is telling us that if you have enough of God in you that you can stop your tongue from saying things that you should not say that offends and hurts people, You have so much of God in you that you won't have any problem with the rest of your flesh.
Right.
Because that's the worst thing right there.
Amen.
Yeah.
Right? That's the worst thing. And so, these are as we'll read here in just a moment, these are great truths that come from God's Word that should be in the family of God, that should be working in the family of God. We are a royal family.
Right?
We are a royal family. As Brother Ram would say, how are we talking about husbands and wives? And I'll say that about husbands and wives. How would you treat a king's daughter?
Right.
How would you treat a king's son?
Right.
Right? And that's exactly the way you should look at it, because we are sons and daughters of the king.
Right.
The king, not a king, the king.
Right.
And we are royalty, and there, you know, that's the thing about even in the natural, a royal family, they conduct themselves different because they are royalty. Yeah. Brother Ram tells about the man that was a slave, and he conducted himself because he knew back in Africa his father was a king of a tribe, so he conducted himself with royalty, even though he wasn't in his homeland. Brother, sister, we're not in our homeland.
Right?
This is not our home. But while we're here, we're supposed to conduct ourselves like a royal family.
Yeah.
And as a royal family, you know, God expects us to treat all of humanity right, but especially those of the household of faith.
Right.
We are. And we have, like I said, we have that responsibility one to another. And so we treat each other because we are a royal family. And even when someone in the royal family does you wrong, you must always remember this. Brother Bram tells us this, and we've said it many times. It's not your brother, and it's not your sister. It's the enemy.
Right.
Absolutely. Most of the time, when there's divisions between people, whether it's in church or wherever, most of the time, it is absolutely miscommunication or misunderstandings.
Right.
And so I can say that could any of us look around, you could probably say this about your natural family, maybe some might not, but even in your church family, could you look around at anybody in church, anybody that you've had fellowship with, and could you say that person is maliciously trying to do something wrong? No. I don't believe that about any of you. I do not believe that about anybody that comes to this church, that they want to do something to aggravate someone, want to do something to hurt somebody's feelings.
Right.
I don't believe that.
No.
But we make mistakes. We fall short.
Right?
We fall short of always expressing the nature of God. And when someone else does that, there's a response that we should give, and it should not be our carnal nature. It should be a response that comes from the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And so, boy, it's just human nature that tries to come out. That's the first thing that has. As long as we're here, this sneaky nature is the first thing that's going to try and come out when something comes your way that you don't like.
Right.
Right? And as Christians, that's it. Overcome that. But let's say even if a person is doing you wrong maliciously, what does the Word tell us? What does Brother Brown tell us? We'll read it here in a minute. You're to forgive them. You're to pray for them. Put your arm around them. Mm-hmm. Amen? We should get into the presence of God. And we've read this quote before. And it just came to mind, so I looked it up today to print it out so I could read it to you. And this comes from a sermon called The Great Commission. You know, we have a Great Commission.
Right.
I'm talking about it tonight, a Great Commission.
Yeah.
And Brother Bram says, if I have found grace in your sight through God, you take my word for this, brethren. If you want to be a blessing and get blessed, how many wants to be a blessing?
Amen.
How many wants to be blessed?
Amen.
Now listen to what he said. When a man has done you wrong, and he has absolutely justly, he's done you wrong, and you know that he's done you wrong. He's done you evil. Don't mention that.
Right.
You take him to prayer before God. And don't take it in the way of just as selfish and say, well, I'm supposed to do this.
Right.
Well, I'm a Christian, so I better pray for him. That's all he's saying. See, he says, you stand with your shoulder to his shoulder and stand in the presence of God our Father. Right? I don't mean you have to go get the person, but what he's saying is get in the presence of God and bring that situation before God. Right?
Yeah.
Bring it there. And God our Father, the way of prayer should be made in the presence of God and say, Father, he's my brother. He's justly, he deserves punishment because he's done me evil. I don't see why he did it. And then let God go to talking to you. And you'll see maybe what that man's been through. The devil has twisted him up somehow and caused him to do that, though he's absolutely wrong. And before you leave the presence of God, you'll be feeling sorry for that man. You'll be sympathizing with that brother. And when you get back down here to where on earth, you'll go over to that brother and you'll shake his hand because you know what he's been through. You can't stand with a mortal in the presence of God and condemn anybody, I don't believe, no sir, even if he is a rank sinner. Amen? Some probably know what I'm talking about. Maybe some don't. I don't know. But you get into the presence of God, you can't condemn somebody.
No.
Regardless. And if you come back and you still have that condemnation towards someone in your heart, you didn't really get there.
Right?
Right? And so he said, what about a brother that's made a mistake? And though I say he's wrong, sometimes he's accused of being wrong when he's not wrong. But if he is wrong, well, if we'll just take him to the throne of God instead, shoulder to shoulder with our brother, knowing he's immortal, maybe his destination rests upon our attitude toward him. When we come back from the throne of God, we'll realize that we're everyone guilty, and we all need help from one another.
Yeah.
He didn't say we need help from God. We know that. But we all need help from one another. What do you mean, help from one another? When someone is not meeting the grade, you're supposed to help them. Vice versa. You owe that as a Christian. We owe that to one another. We owe it to live our lives in such a way that we carefully walk and treat one another with a royal attitude.
Yeah.
Right? That's number one.
Right.
The natural aspirations of life or desires or wants or whatever, all that has to be put under. We have one thing that's more important than anything else, and that is that we live the nature of God to and in front of our brothers and sisters and the world as far as that goes.
Right.
That we need help from one another. And the best way to do is pray.
Amen.
The last thing he said, now these great principles, the great church of the living God, mm-hmm. the great church of the living God, these principles, that's supposed to be resident in us as God's people. Amen.
Right.
We need help from each other.
Yeah.
So, you know, no one's ever really done anything to you that you probably haven't done too.
Right?
Right? Mm-hmm. And if you don't think that, you just probably don't know.
Right.
You know, we get mad if somebody pulls over in front of us or something on the road. Well, I've made that mistake before. There was my blind spot.
Right?
Right? Or whatever, you know. Your spouse, she or he answers sharply at you. Well, you've done that too.
Right.
Because we're humans.
Right.
Right? But when all that human nature is coming through, how do you deal with that? The best way to deal with it is let the Spirit of God come down and cover it.
Right.
Right? And it starts with you. Not that you're saying, well, you better go pray and get God. No, you do it.
Right.
You do it. Just always remember, it starts with me. I'm the one first. And so if I don't, even if you're not even lifting a finger to do what's right, you do it. You're right yourself, you know, if someone else is not.
Yeah.
Yeah, you do it.
Yeah.
And so we're obligated to God and we're obligated to each other. Parents to children, children to parents. There's certain things that are according to God's economy that parents are supposed to give and be for the children and children to the parents. It's in the economy of God. God has an economy of how that we should live and act, and it's absolutely there, and we owe it to one another. And if we don't give it, we're in debt to one another, right?
Right.
And so you have that same to your co-workers, or to anyone to live right. Married couples, husbands and wives, you have a responsibility. You can't just check out.
Right.
You have a responsibility to be what you're supposed to be for that marriage and for that family.
Amen.
You can't just, you know, well, I'm just in a bad mood. I'm not. And I know we have times where things are rough and we miss the mark. And that's when the other half has to bridge the gap and pray. And best thing to do is pray and bring the Spirit of God down to cover it.
Right.
Yeah.
Forgiveness. Mm-hmm. And always remember, we need to be forgiven.
Amen.
So we must forgive.
Right.
Yeah. Amen. And so even married couples, God holds us responsible for these things. And our attitude toward them, our attitude toward other people, whatever they're doing, our attitude toward them is our attitude toward God.
Yeah.
And I can say that because God has told us how we should be toward one another. And if we don't do that, then it shows our attitude toward the Word of God.
Right.
Right.
By the way we act. Amen. So, there is a holy respect, this is my own words, that we must have and we must keep in interaction with especially the household of God. And the only way that can be, it has to be seasoned with the Holy Spirit in our lives. And of course, the Holy Spirit quickening His Word, because He is the Word. So we realize that all of our activities, we can get together, we can do a lot of things. Camp, whatever, you know, eat, fellowship, go to restaurants, whatever.
Right.
But all of our activities must be laced with the Spirit of God.
Right.
We each have to take that and know that and make that an agenda in our lives.
Yeah.
That I want God moving and speaking and working through me. I don't mean prophesying and all that. That could happen too, but I'm talking about just living right.
Right. Yeah.
And responding right. Being a Christian. I've seen Brother Perryman. I've told you this. I've seen him when somebody's standing in his face using words that we wouldn't even, you know, a lot of people won't even use.
Right.
Just absolutely just screaming at the top of their voice, right in his face like that. Mm-hmm. He's just as sweet. Never responded. Just, that's what Brother Graham said a Christian should be.
Right.
Right? Can we do that if somebody gets up in our face and start doing that? Mm-hmm. But that's what a real Christian nature is, because Christ did that.
Yeah.
Right? He could have. And was the only one had a right to lash back, but he didn't. He gave us an example. Amen. And so there's a certain holy respect that we should have, and it only comes by the Holy Spirit in our lives. And so all of our activities must be laced with the Holy Spirit. And when we get away from that, I mean, not only we get together, we can have a good time and so forth in the natural, but it must always be overshadowed. Because with the Holy Spirit, but because when it's not, we'll get too carnal.
Sure.
We'll get too much in the flesh, and next thing you know, somebody's feelings is hurt. Something happens, and what I'm saying is all that must be covered by the Holy Spirit, by the nature of God living through us. Right. And so, you know, we want to do that. And so when that happens, we've got to really lean on the Lord. And if we'll walk with the Lord, these things will happen. Jesus said, let your communications be yea, yea, and nay, nay.
Right.
Because anything more than that, evil comes from.
Right.
Now, I personally, and I'm not trying to change the word, I don't think that he's telling us that the only thing we can say yes, yes, no, no. Because
right.
How would you communicate?
Right.
How could I stand here and preach, or Brother Daniel preach, if always it just standards a yes, yes, no, no? There's a principle there.
Right.
There's a principle of what he's talking about here, and so don't let yourself get all loose out there. Remember where the scripture said, gird up the loins of your mind, right? Because you're like a garment flowing in the wind.
Yeah.
Gird it up so it don't flow in the wind.
Right.
Gird up your thinking. Gird up your mindset of how you're going to live and how you're going to do things, right? And so that concept there, that reel this stuff in. Don't let things get carnal, too carnal. You know, there's a little bit of what we can do to enjoy, but Make sure it's overshadowed so that we don't trespass against one another.
Right.
Right? Let it be God that's motivating us. And so Jesus saying, let your conversation just be yay, yay, nay, nay. Don't let it go out. Because if you do, evil is going to come from that.
Right.
If we know this and we let it happen anyway, that gives Satan a right to jump right in there.
Right. Right.
Anytime we let something go, that gives him a right. Right? Because he knows.
Right.
So, a concept there. You know, we in the natural, in our flesh, have a beast nature. Without the Holy Ghost in us, we're a beast nature.
Right.
And it's that beast nature is still there in our flesh, right?
Yeah.
So it has to have something there that can conquer that and overcome that. And so without getting into the Spirit of God and praying and getting into the Spirit and let this word and this Spirit motivate us, then we just will revert right back to that. Paul said, I have to die daily.
Right.
That's right. Messenger of the first church age. Mm-hmm. Right? He had to die daily.
Yeah.
And so, we'll begin to manifest a selfish nature rather than a sacrificial nature.
Yeah.
Right? Sacrifice, a Christian life is looking Calvary right in the face. It is sacrifice.
Right.
You know why little babies can be born and they can be taken care of and grow up to be grown? It's because their parents sacrificed to do that.
Yeah.
This world runs and operates by sacrifice. When you go to work every day and work hard to provide for your family, that's sacrifice.
Right.
And those things are required. God tells us in his own word that if a man won't work and take care of his family, he's worse than an infidel.
Right.
Died of faith, right? So God expects us to do these things that he's brought us here on earth to do. We all have responsibilities, and it's sacrifice.
Right.
And sometimes when there's a division, somebody's got to be the sacrifice.
Yeah.
Somebody has to back up and say, God, I'll be the one. And life will come from that, right? Life comes from death.
Yeah.
Amen. And so if we don't do that, if we don't let the Spirit of God live in our lives, then we'll begin to have a selfish nature and not a sacrificial nature. And then when that happens, when we have divisions and things like that, and we're not willing to let Christ be through us, then we start holding one another in contempt. Let me read what contempt. Just look this up. A feeling that a person or a thing is beneath consideration or deserves scorn. Disregard for something that should be taken into account. When someone does you wrong and they hurt you, if it's not God moving through that, then you're offended.
Right.
They're automatically a lower. You know what I'm saying? Now they're beneath than what they really should be.
Yeah.
Because they're a son or daughter of God. They're royalty.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
Satan has done something there, right? And so you never put them beneath.
Right.
Right? Never put them beneath or down low because Satan, because I know my brother. I know the Spirit of God that I know in fellowship is there with him. Mm-hmm. See? Always know that it's God that's alive there. And so you understand what I'm saying. It's our responses to one another.
Right.
It's so important. And the only way that we can do it is to have our flesh nature subdued by the Holy Spirit.
Right.
You know, there are so few real believers in this world.
Yeah.
I love this message. I love this word. And there's not very many people that you can sit down who you can talk to and you know, as Jesus tells, when you go out and preach and go to a city, whatever, and let peace come back, and if it don't, then shake.
Yeah.
There's so few people that you can really sit down and talk to about this word.
That's right. Yeah.
I mean, you can talk, skim over it with some people, but even that knows, you know, there's so few. And we should hold that in such high regard. Anybody, Jesus said to them, said, I won't do this again until you begin to say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord.
Yeah.
And there's so few people that really believe this word. And so the ones who really do, we should be saying, blessed is he or she that cometh in the name of the Lord.
Right?
Right? Because he's the word. and a full word at this end time. And so people's not coming in the name of the Lord unless they're truly coming in the name of the Lord.
Yeah.
And that should mean so much to us that we have brothers and sisters that we can truly fellowship with around this word and don't have to hold back and, well, I won't talk about serpent seed. Can't do that. No, we can talk about this revealed word to the fullness.
Right.
And I'm just saying that relationship, that fellowship, that life, that opportunity that we have, we should cherish that. We should protect that.
Right.
Because what if you didn't have that? What if you was by yourself? Mm-hmm. If you was by yourself for years and finally somebody came, you would be saying, blessed is he that cometh from the name of the Lord.
Right.
And that's the way we should feel. We're royalty.
Amen.
We should be careful how we let things get amiss among us. Amen. Remember, John, the Revelator, is a type of the bride, right?
Yeah.
Amen. Right. He typed all the ages. And John, after all the things that he had went through and all the things he had seen and all the trying to be boil him in oil for 24 hours and couldn't kill him and put him out on the island of Patmos for 2 years. He's out there with scorpions and lizards and all that. All the things he's went through, and he goes back and he's there at Ephesus and he ends his life. Right? His the last days of his life is there, and he's saying, love one another. Love one another.
Yeah.
You mean that's all he could say? That's all he needed to say.
Right.
When he had seen everything that he had seen, all that had happened, all the world could dish out to him, he ended it by saying, love one another.
Amen.
That's the most important thing. Love one another. As we read, love worketh no ill toward his neighbor. Amen. You know, the Lord already knows what's in us. Right?
Mm-hmm.
We're the ones that need to wrestle with him like Jacob until we find out what we are.
Right.
I mean, what we are in ourselves. We have to come to the just wrestle out with God until God will show you just how depraved our own nature is without the Holy Spirit working through us.
Right.
That means we need to understand that very clearly. And so we need to wrestle with God like Jacob did. You know, Jacob was a deceiver, supplanter, deceiver. He had tricked his father-in-law, tricked his dad, he had a life, a trail of trickery. And you know, when you sow, you reap.
Right.
And it'll catch up with you. And he, in this passage of scripture, he had done his brother wrong. His brother's coming with a band of armed people. And he was facing it, and he knew it was coming. And he knew that he had done wrong. And he had been as a deceiver for so long, and it caught up with him. Then he got desperate and he realized, God, you gotta save me. And here's this one that was said a man, but it turned out it was an angel, something from God. And he got desperate and he wrestled. All that I've been that's wrong has caught up with me. And he had to wrestle there. And so he read the story, and of course this angel or this man from God smote him.
Mm-hmm.
Smote him in his hip. And from that day forward, Jacob had a limp.
Right.
That's symbolic.
Mm-hmm.
The strength. Jacob could no longer be that deceiver.
Right.
He said, you're no longer going to be Jacob, but you're a deceiver. But you're going to be now Israel, prince with God, prince with man and with God. Right? Jacob, I like to think about it, he had a new birth. Right? He had an experience with God right there. But that experience changed him where he could no longer live like a deceiver.
Yeah.
All the life that he had did, he couldn't do it anymore. He was a different man. And that's what I said. We have to come to, I'm still talking about by the Spirit of God. We've got to let the Holy Ghost live in us. And come to that place to realize, God, don't let me live it. Because if I'm living it, it's just going to be Jacob again. It's,
right?
But God, let me be Israel.
Yeah.
Let me live like a prince before you and before the people. Right? Because it was before God and before man, he said.
Right.
So you see, we have to struggle before God to come to this place where we know we're dead.
Right.
That we're dead. Mm-hmm. And that God's living in us. And that's an everyday thing that we have to do.
Right.
Every day. Mm-hmm. Die out to ourselves. Say, it's just such a simple thought. Yeah, we've heard this over and over. Brother, sister, try it.
Sure.
Amen.
Try it.
Yeah.
Amen. We all need our Penuel. I don't even know if I'm saying that right, but our Penuel experience. So we're no more deceivers. Because we have within us the ability to deceive.
Sure.
Right? Even deceive our starts with ourselves.
Right.
Deceiving ourselves. Amen. And all it is just conquering human nature.
Yeah.
That's all it is. By the Holy Spirit. Amen. You'll receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Power to be witnesses. Not witnessing Jacob's life, but Israel's life. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So let's just bow our hearts as we get ready to close. You've been a good congregation tonight, receiving, receptive to the word. Lord Jesus, as we come to the end of the service, Lord, sharing the things that you put on my heart, I pray that each one take it serious, Lord, because we know, Lord, unless I misunderstand it, that the nature of your bride be just like you. And so, Lord, we know this word is here to mold us and to make us, and God, it's okay. We come in here to the house of God and we think on these things and read them, but Lord, we've got to be able to put this in flesh. And so, Lord, we just need you to continue to work with us. And Lord, a great move of your Spirit to fall upon us and quicken this mechanics that you've been giving us for so many years. Lord, that we could live it 100% all the time. Lord, that's the testimony that people said about your prophet, and he was an example for us in this day, just like you were an example. That all things that had come your way, you were able to handle it. All things that come the prophet's way, because you wanted us to see that this word can produce that kind of life, that everything that would come our way, we would handle it right. I pray, God, that you just continue to work with us. Let your Holy Spirit woo us, draw us closer to you, to this manifestation we're speaking of. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me love it. Let's go to Psalm 333.